Information is empowering. Information, we know, is key. And we as a legislature, the only way that you can empower people is to supply them with information on a constant basis. So I think that is key, where you have a legislature that is there for the people, that is accessible, and it has a face. You have a face in a district. So I think it does work.
Welcome to the Conversation with Democracy podcast, where Democracy Works Foundation uncovers the successes and challenges of initiatives underway to build resilient democracies in Africa. Join us to find out about our work with our partners to build inclusive, equitable, and sustainable consensus democracy. In other words, democracies that work. This podcast series spotlights the work of the civil society participation in provincial legislatures project that seeks to build bridges between local civil society and provincial legislatures. My name is Liz Letebele, and this podcast is brought to you by Democracy Works Foundation. COVID-19 has fundamentally changed all aspects of our lives, including the ways in which we interact with each other and with our elected representatives. Without the ability to conduct site visits, MPLs have had to drastically rethink how they work, be creative and flexible to remain relevant and accessible throughout the crisis. Given the scale of the crisis, a national state of disaster was declared under the Disaster Management Act. The Act gives prerogative to the executive to exercise wide-ranging powers to mobilize a swift response to protect our nation and her people. In the course of combating the pandemic, large amounts of money and other resources have been ring-fenced to fund the national response to the pandemic. Under these circumstances, the importance and necessity of legislative oversight to hold the executive to account cannot be overstated. Today, we speak to Carmen Hobane, manager of the Public Education and Participation Unit at the Northern Cape Provincial Legislature. We explore the role of provincial legislatures in ensuring executive accountability, conducting oversight, and promoting public participation, and consider how COVID-19 has impacted on the legislature's ability to carry out its mandate.
So thank you so much, Carmen, for joining us for this podcast series where we really interrogate some of the questions and work that we've been doing as part of the Civil Society Participation in Provincial Legislature Program. Today we are speaking with Carmen Hobane. She's the manager of the Public Education and Participation Unit at the Northern Cape Provincial Legislature. We have been working very closely together with Carmen in order to support public participation in the Northern Cape province. Thank you so much for joining us, Carmen.
Good morning, Vera. Thank you very much for inviting me.
The provincial legislature obviously has a constitutional imperative to ensure public involvement in lawmaking and in the oversight function of parliament. What mechanisms, platforms, and channels has the Northern Cape Provincial Legislature put in place to promote and enable public participation?
I am the manager responsible for public education and communications. So our unit, the Public Education and Communications Unit, it solely exists to ensure that provincial legislature ensures that its constitutional mandate is implemented, basically. So Section 118 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa has to ensure that legislatures involve public, involve civil society, involves the media in all its platforms and its programs. And the legislature should be open and it should be accessible to each and every citizen of the province. And that is why there is this unit that is responsible for public participation, to ensure that the legislature really implements its constitutional mandate. We as the legislature have a footprint in the province, is where we developed regional offices in all the districts. Now we have 5 districts in the province. So we have 5 regional offices in each district. This is to ensure that the legislature definitely has a footprint in the province. You must understand the Northern Cape is a very vast province. It has a vast geographical space. For instance, the legislature is based in Kimberley. From Kimberley to the furthest point, for example, is the Namakwa district, which is about 900 kilometers. So you have a presence, you have a regional office. You can actually go to the regional office. You can get your assistance. And unlike, you have a regional office that has built relationships with government, with the district offices, with the municipalities. So a citizen can go to a district office at a specific district and really lay their concerns, whatever concerns they have, sharing of information. So that is why we have the regional offices. And that is one of the mechanisms we have implemented to ensure that communities can go to the legislature and that regional office should serve as a satellite to the legislature as a whole. So you don't have this situation where you have the seat of the legislature being based in Kimberley, but there's no avenue for people to go to. So that is why we have these 5 regional offices.
Thank you, Carmen. That's very interesting, specifically the notion around the regional offices and the liaison offices in the regions, because I think that that is a huge challenge that we experience in all of the provinces, is that there's a physical distance and the cost to actually travel to go and visit the legislature in person can be really inhibiting for people. And at this point, I think it's a great initiative that we started to have a WhatsApp group with the regional offices, as well as some of our CSO partners. Do you think that this idea of having a footprint in every region through the regional offices, do you think that that is working well, or do you think that there are areas that need to be improved?
I think I also have to tell you, Mira, we are the first of the 9 provincial legislatures that does have district offices. So I definitely think that it does work. It is a system that works. Yes, there is areas for anything that you do. There is areas for improvement, but currently the interaction that we have with communities, the relationships that we build with communities, I definitely think that we have made an impact. So that is just one of the mechanisms that the legislature has put in place. Secondly, we have the Northern Cape Petitions Act. That is also one of the mechanisms that is specifically deals with the legislation. It says each and every legislation should ensure that we do have a petition system. So we have the Northern Cape Petitions Act, and that act, it sets out parameters to say how can people, how can communities, how can citizens, how can they make their voice heard? For instance, using the petition system, it's one of the mechanisms that you can make your voice heard. You as an individual or as a citizen or as a community, you can write a petition to the Northern Cape Legislature, address it to the Speaker. And we have a Standing Committee on Constitutional Affairs, Petitions, and Public Participation that deals and deliberates with all the petitions that we receive. So those are just a few mechanisms. Obviously, we do make use of social media, of websites, communication vehicles, so forth, community radios. Our motto is vigilant always for our people. So that is actually the mantra that we as a provincial legislature must continuously be vigilant and be the eye. We are the watchdogs for the people, because at the end of the day, the legislature must ensure that it has oversight over government and municipalities.
And we are, of course, very grateful for the invitation that our CSO partners received through one of the regional offices to participate in the Women's Parliament, the virtual Women's Parliament, for example. So even from our side, I think there is evidence that this is working. So thank you for that insight. I think we'll speak a bit more about the kind of initiatives in a little moment. For now, I just wanted to find out with regards to COVID-19 and the pandemic, the lockdown has obviously changed all aspects of our lives as we know it. And I wanted to find out how this new reality of social distancing has affected the ability of public involvement in the legislative processes. And we've already mentioned some of the channels that we have used to facilitate public participation during this difficult time. But also, if you would just speak very briefly to the kind of education and outreach initiatives that you are doing during the COVID-19 related lockdown.
The legislature makes use of community development workers throughout the province. So what we initiated last year is we had various trainings where we actually went to the districts and we had this group of ward committee councillors, ward committee members, as well as your community development workers, where we actually trained them on the role and the function of the provincial legislature. It was really eye-opening. What we then also did is we then developed a WhatsApp group for each specific district. And through those WhatsApp groups, we share information, we share the legislation, upcoming bills, we share information, what is happening around the legislature. And so, fortunately, come COVID-19, we can still continue that relationship. So as much as COVID-19 has brought the challenge that the face-to-face communication is not there, but we have, through our engagements, we have built those kind of relationships. And that is why it's important, as any organization or as the legislature, it's important to really nurture and grow those relationships. So once you build that report and have that relationship with your stakeholder, instances like COVID, it's easy where you have already have that channel where you can communicate with your stakeholders. So as much as COVID has taken away that aspect of the face-to-face engagement, yes, we do make use of your virtual connections, but you also know the challenges that comes with the virtual communication. You are not going to be able to reach all your stakeholders in all your rural areas. Last year, we also, as a legislature, we launched a radio presenter and empowerment workshops. Where we had workshops with radio presenters. We have around about 8 community radio stations. It was a partnership that we then had with OFM, is training with the presenters. And it was a one-day session where we just trained them on the role of the legislature, the members of the provincial legislature. What is the role? What is the function of the MPLs? What is the role? What is oversight? What is lawmaking? Why is public hearing so important? You know, what is bills? You know, all of those kind of intricacies. We actually had a one-day workshop. And I should say that the feedback, the positive feedback that we got from the radio, it was really phenomenal to such an extent that this year we are going to be signing an MOU with the National Community Radio Forum based in the Northern Cape. This is a forum that comprises of all the 8 community radio stations. Coming back to COVID, the relationships that we've built, now is the time that we are actually even strengthening those relationships. So we are having a much more, a bigger impact with community radio stations. We had the Children's Dialogue, where we gathered child ambassadors, which we used. We had the Children's Parliament last year. So we tapped into the delegates, and we invited them and said, listen, come and share your experiences. Come and tell us what, as a child, how your experiences, how did COVID-19 impact you? And those are the engagement, those are the voices that we want to hear. And that is the participation, that is the engagement, the information that you really want to have as a provincial legislature with your stakeholders, with your different sectors. So one of those COVID-19 programs that we had was then the virtual dialogue. We did not just have it on the virtual platform. This dialogue was then broadcast on all the 8 community radio stations. So those are the approaches that we are going to use, as much as we are not going to have that face-to-face, but we are in your living rooms. You are playing the radio, and we are even, you know, so we still have that relationship with our stakeholders. And also, I also have to say, with the partnership with Democracy Works Foundation, also been phenomenal. We've actually signed an MOU with Democracy Works Foundation in February, and that was before COVID. And I think our working relationship has really improved to such an extent that I think we have, I don't know, but maybe we're one of the first legislatures that has the online training with the Westminster Foundation. So those are the programs that we can really say it flourished under COVID. And we have an engagement with NPLs, where NPLs have a platform where they can also speak about the challenges of COVID. They can speak about how the legislature has really changed its business, how now most of, I think probably 99% of the work of the legislature is being done virtually. So, those are the activities that we as the legislature has been experiencing or undergoing whilst we have the COVID-19 in our midst.
The civil society participation in provincial legislature project was made possible with the co-funding and technical assistance from the European Union and the Westminster Foundation for Democracy. This is Liz Letebele, signing out with Conversations with Democracy. Follow our channel and our website, www.democracyworksfoundation.org. Bye.